we're going to try this out. We're trying a headset microphone to see how this works. So, welcome to another beautiful podcast. Been a while. Been busy. I won't lie to you. Been super busy. We've been moving. I've been super busy with work. Moving sucks. That's all there is to it. Moving sucks. But we got all moved. Got all moved in. So that is complete. So I'm going to recap a couple things from the past couple weeks. And talk about movements in the fly fishing world. So bear with me. I may lose you. This may be a short one. It's already 9 o'clock. But so last weekend was, for those of you not in Denver or not hip to the Denver scene, last weekend was the Mile High 25 contest. So what it is, you've got 48 hours. You've got two calendar days to fish, and you don't really get 48 hours of fishing. You get like six to eight the first day, so you get 14 hours, and then you get 6 to 3 the second day, so you get 23 hours of fishing. Okay. And the goal is to go out and catch 25 different species of fish that are on the list of fish to catch, okay? A lot of people do this tournament. I think we were up to 53 teams this year, which was a huge jump in teams from last year. So that's pretty good, and a really big jump from the first year. But nonetheless, 23 hours, you got to go out and catch as many species as you can to win. We're talking, there's four or five trout. There's brown trout, greenbacks, cutthroats, rainbows, brook trout. There's splakes. Probably missing one, but whatever. And then there's a lot of warm water stuff. Largemouth, crappie, smallmouth. Your carps. You got three different carp. Bluegills and sunfish and perch and just so many species to get after. So it's one of those tournaments. I mean, if you've been a listener for a long time, it's one of those tournaments that it pushes you as a fisherman to get out of your box, get out of the indicator box, get out of the dry fly box, get out of the dry dropper box. And it forces you to go out there and be a better angler, in my eyes. Because, a lot of these fish are pretty hard to catch. After a few seasons, you kind of figure it out. But, smallmouth, unless you're, really, really good at it, like Scott Long, my boy, they're pretty tough. You're throwing meat whistles and you're dragging them off the bottom. You're doing that, or you're throwing some weed guard worms and that type of shit. And you're just dragging them. You're just dragging them along the bottom, hoping for something. It's different. Because you don't really do that with a lot of trout. Carp this year we finally got through our carp barrier. Scott and I have been, this is our third year fishing this tournament, and we have not had a carp in the net until this year. So finally cracked that one. It's not that we didn't have shots. We've had plenty of shots. It's just, one of those deals where they weren't eating that year. And, this year managed to find one eating, not paying attention, and got a fly in front of him and hooked him up and smoked him. So really pleased with that. Really, really, really pleased with that one. It's a fun tournament, man. I highly, highly encourage that if you're If you've been thinking about doing the tournament and you're not sure, give it a shot. You know, so what's it going to hurt? Or if you're, you know, if you're a tournament vet and you've done it for years and years, and you know this will be the third year now, but if you've done it for all 3 years and you enjoy having, you know, having fun and going out and being with your partner all goddamn weekend, go out and do it again. It's a good time. It's a great way to build a friendship. It's a great way to sharpen your skills. You know, I can't say that enough. So, you know, shout out to Anglers All for putting that on every year. Seems to be growing, seems to be getting bigger and better. So that is awesome. You know, keep it up, guys. Keep it up. So with that being said, the tournament fishing scene is it's a different scene. I don't think it's for everybody. A lot of I'll just come right out and say it because I don't mind. A lot of sketchiness going on. A lot of weird rumors, a lot of weird things like that you hear after a team wins. And you know, I'm purely going off speculation and what I know. But if there is any truth to any of these rumors, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough tournament to fill next year if there is any truth whatsoever to anything that I've heard. So just, you know, people are going to cheat. People are going to do sketchy things. That's part of life, I guess. Nobody really wants to do it the honest way anymore. You know, and that goes with, you know, just life in general. People steal. People do 10 million things, and they just, nobody wants to do it the honest way anymore, which is, you know, indicative of our society, I guess. But we'll get on to the next topic and or topics. There's a lot of movements. A lot of movements. Not in my bowels. Just kidding. A lot of movement in the fly fishing scene these days. You know, there's the, what is the one that Orvis started? The 50-50 on the water. Then you've got like your, you know, the Bristol Bay thing never dies. Or it hasn't died. I wish it would. And, you know, then there's the keep them wet. And there's the plastic bottle one, the kick plastic or whatever the hell that one is. And then now, which seems like it happens every July, every person out there that is quote unquote involved with the industry is telling you how to fish. Telling you when to fish. Fish before the owls come up. Fish after they go, you know, fish when they come out, you know, hoot owl restrictions and all that shit. I mean, let's just use common sense, guys. You know, if the water's hot, you're stressing the fish, you might kill the fish. Okay? End of story. I don't need everybody and their fucking mom telling me, hey, guys, we should be better at this. We should do better. Yeah, everybody knows they should do better. Okay? And having 19 million posts telling me that I need to fish when the water's cooler, or I can't fish when it's 58 degrees, or I can't fish when it's 60. Yeah, we get that. You know, as fly fishermen, we should know that by now. You know, I don't need everybody posting about it. So, pick a better cause, I guess is what I'm after. You know, you want to pick a good cause? How about let's pick up some trash? You know, the kick plastic movement is a perfect example of a great movement. Plastic bottles are everywhere. They're part of life for a lot of people. You know, it seems like they're the easy way and the convenient way to always have water. You know, just get a cooler and fill it with water. You know, put some ice in it. It's going to be cold. Yeah, that works. But at the same time, you can get you an Arctic bottle. Get you a Yeti bottle. You know, fill it with ice, fill it with water. And you've got, and you know, you might not have water all day, but you'll have it until you drink the water. And then you got to let your ice melt or you can fill it up somewhere. And you're not creating any waste. You're not putting any waste out into the world. You know, and you're not wasting money on buying plastic bottles all the time. So that's one I will officially, I'll get behind that one all day long. You know, get rid of your plastic bottles. I'm not talking Nalgene's. I'm not talking, you know, those type of bottles. I'm talking, don't go to the gas station before a fishing trip and buy a 24-pack of Nestle water and take that on your trip. Because you're not going to recycle it. You may throw it in the trash. It may end up in your truck, and then it's going to, you know, it'll hopefully end up in the recycling pile, but do nature a solid and just get you a steel bottle, get you a Nalgene bottle, get you a reusable bottle and use that. You know, it's like I said, it might be a hassle a little bit here and there in the beginning, but once you get used to using a bottle like that, it's a good deal. You know, I've got a little 18-ounce bottle that I take with me to work. Recently, now it's been so goddamn hot, I think I'm using the 36-ounce bottle, which is a little overkill, but I don't get thirsty. You know, I've got filtered water at work. I fill it up. I go. I don't have to worry about plastic bottles all day long. So that's one I definitely recommend getting behind. What else? Talking about, you know, I'm going to go back and revisit the Mile High 25. Warm water fish, you guys are assholes. Smallmouth, assholes. Crappie, assholes. You know, and it's not the, you got to get out there and you got to fish and you got to figure out where they are. But man, it's like one of those deals when you know you're in the right spot, you know you're doing everything right, or you think you're doing everything right, I should say, everything that a smallmouth and or any of these fish would want. And it just, you know, it just doesn't come together. You know, they're frustrating. Frustrating, frustrating. So maybe my question to you guys, what do you do when you get, you know, when you get to that point in your fishing career where and I'm just calling it career, you know, you want to give me shit for it, go ahead. But, you know, what do you do when you get to that point where you're just, you know, it's like a roadblock, you know? How do you figure out how to get around it? Are you reading? You know, are you reading a book? Are you watching more of this or more of that? You know what I mean? Trying to maybe get some insight on what you should do or what you could do. You know, something like that. You know, like me, I know I struggle with some of these warm water fish. You know, carp. Carp is definitely one of them. Holy moly. I struggle with carp on probably more of a, I don't know, it's probably one of the fish I struggle with the most is carp. I think all the other ones are fairly easy except for like the smallmouth stuff. But carp, commons are tough, but commons are not nearly as hard as grass carp. Grass carp are. Do you remember the lady that was at Boulder? She was at Boulder a couple months ago, and there were two kids from New Mexico. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a little story. Two kids from New Mexico saved some money, drove their mom's car up to Boulder to tour the campus, at CU. Okay. There was a mother on the same tour as these kids, you know, typical metalheads from the reservation. And this mother decided that she was going to call the cops on these two kids because they didn't look right. Okay. So she panicked. She freaked out. She did something stupid. Okay. So she is a grass carp. Because if something doesn't look right, if something doesn't feel right, grass carp will turn their head and get the F out of Dodge as fast as they goddamn can, and it is the most frustrating thing in the world. We were fishing a lake, and we walked around to the backside of this lake, and you could see, I mean, they're just common carp everywhere, eating, nose down, eating, eating, eating. Spotted a grassy. So I go over there, you know, where this grass carp is, and the way this lake is and the way this area is where this grass carp is you're probably 15 feet above the water on a hill, you know, and you've got a one-to-one, so you got that 15 feet, and then the channel is probably 20 feet across. So you're looking at a 35, 40-foot cast from an elevated position, which is typically, you know, not the easiest. So I get over there, see this grassy. I'm like, sweet, let's go throw something at him. Strip out enough line, you know, because you don't want to false cast and hit the water, right? You want to false cast, keep your shit off the water. You know, maybe one, two false casts, put your stuff in play. So get over there. Get some line stripped out, false cast off to where he's not at. Throw a cast, lands, I don't know, probably 5 feet short and 5 feet left. So I'm you know, not worried. He didn't move. I'm good. Bring everything back up. Make another cast. This time, great distance. Put it right in line where he is. Maybe 2 foot, foot and a half in front of him. So I'm perfect. I'm like, yes, this is it. Slow sinking fly. I can see it from where I'm at. I know it's going to sink to the bottom. He's moving just a hair, you know, not a lot, but I'm hoping I can get it to drop. Then I'll drag it just a little bit, give him a little twitch. Gets to the bottom. Fly hits the bottom. I can see it. Give it a little twitch. What happens? Here comes a bluegill. Here comes a bluegill. Picks up the fly. Runs maybe a foot, 2 foot with it. Grass carp flips the fuck out. Makes a U-turn and he gone. He gone. He's into the lake. He's not even in this back channel anymore. And he's into the lake in 5 seconds flat. So it was goddamn bluegill. Pissed me off. Holy shit. So that was a rough one. Grass carp is the frightened mother on a CU tour. So be careful. So with the dog days of summer, I don't even know that these are the dog days. We're barely into summer and it is hot as shit outside. But with these days of summer upon us, it is time that people are heading off beautifully, wonderfully into the high country. They're going after cutthroats. They're going after brook trout. And they're fishing small creeks on small rods. And it's lovely. It's lovely, lovely. I like to talk small, you know, small weight rods. You know, what's the smallest you fish? What's the smallest you would fish? I know I was planning on doing a trip for my birthday, which I typically do every... My birthday is July 3rd. And I've got a super top secret place that doesn't open up until July 1st, which is today. But with the amount of fires in the area, that super secret place is not open. So, kind of sucks. This is the first year in quite a while that I won't be able to make that trip. But, you know, it's one of those deals, man. It sucks, but deal with it. I know when I go there, I like to fish a 3-weight. And, brace yourself, I like to fish a 0-weight. Yes, a 0-weight. I've got a SLT Sage. And I've got that coupled with a CFO1. One of the Made in England CFOs. So, legit hardy stuff. And I absolutely love throwing dry flies on that 0. It throws a nice loop. You know, 8-inch cutthroat feels like a 15-inch rainbow. Oh, I mean, that rod is just fun. Fun, fun, fun. So what do you guys fish? What's the smallest you fish? You know? I know a lot of people that don't go smaller than a 3. You know? I know a lot of people that definitely don't go down to a 0. But, you know, are you fishing a 1? You fishing a 2? Oh, man. Which reminds me, I was on Facebook the other day. I found... Holy shit, I can't even talk. I found on a page, a guy was selling a 1-weight Sage SPL. I think it was the SPL. A 1-weight Sage SPL Center Access. And if you've never seen the Sage Center Access, they are absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. I know Lamson's doing one now, but personally, I don't think that the Lamson one can even hold a candle to the Sage one. The Sage one is just, it is so nice and so beautiful. I fished the SPL taper. I really do like it, but I do like the SLT tapers a little more, and that's why I fish those. But the SPL is definitely nothing to, you know, definitely one to write home to your mom about, but definitely not one to miss out if you get a chance. So look for those because they are very nice. So anyway, dog days of summer, you know, like we talked about earlier, use your head, guys. If it's hot outside, the fish are going to be hot. You know, if it's kind of cool, you know, the fish, the water's probably going to be about right. But just use your head, you know, do not go out there and fish all day long and catch fish all day long when it is super, super hot, because the fish will not make it. You know, it's just too much stress. It's too much on them. So pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to the temperature of the water. Pay attention to how you are putting the fish back. You know, you get them out in good shape, you put them back in good shape. Don't play them long. Don't play them long at all. Get them in, net them. Keep them in the water when you're moving your hooks. Keep them in the water the whole time if you can. If you're going to get a grip and grin, get a grip and grin, do it quick. Get it back in the water. Keep that fish in there until he can move, he or she, we are inclusive here, till he or she can move under their own power. When they can move out of the net on their own, you're good to go. You know, do not rush the releases, please. The fish are a precious, precious resource, and we can't afford to be stupid about it anymore. You know, I mean, that's all there is to it. And like I said, I get why all the social justice warriors are, you know, posting 9 million things about it, and you know, everybody's on board with, you know, we're fishing at this time. I understand that, but at the same time, we have to use what we've learned and put it to good use. You know, if it's hot, You know, just release that fish, right? Yeah, can't say enough about that, man. Please. Okay, so a couple things in closing, guys. If you're going to go out and you're going to fish for trout, be mindful of what that water temperature is. If it's below 67, you can fish. Just be very, very, very good with your release and your fish handling and all of that stuff. So, just a reminder, put a thermometer on your boot, stand in the water, check it out. Just watch those temperatures throughout the day if you're going to fish. There's plenty of warm water fish that you can target in the Denver Metro, so don't be afraid to do that. You know, same thing goes there. Also, just be mindful of your fish handling techniques, please. If you're going to go out and you're going to fish and you're going to have water, which you should, so you don't dehydrate and die, get you a bottle. Get you an Arctic bottle, get you a Yeti bottle. Take your bottle out, you know, get it in the morning, fill it up with ice, put it in your pack. Try and reduce some of the waste, guys. Not everybody will, but if a few of us can reduce the waste and keep some trash out of our rivers, out of our parks, it's just that much better for the next generation and for anybody that's following you up, man, you know. What other movement was I going to talk about? I'm definitely not going to talk about the 50-50. I do not want to get into that hornet's nest, and I'm not going to get into that hornet's nest. I'm not, not going to talk about that. So, get out there, go do some fishing, go buy some flies. Go up to some high mountain lakes. I know a good guide service that'll take you up to Bartle Lakes. 5280 Angler, come on. Pete just had a fly sale this last weekend. I didn't go load up, but I'm hoping you guys did. You know, so as usual, when I do these short ones, I don't drop the promos in them. But like I said, I will give a shout out to my three sponsors, Western Visions Lanyards. Thank you guys so much. You guys are going to be my next interview, I'm hoping. I just got to coordinate schedules. Ascent Fly Fishing. Pete, thanks for sticking by. And 5280 Angler. All my boys over 5280. Come on over. I've got the house. I'm getting the house ready. You guys come over and let's tie some flies for that redfish trip. Huh? So, big shout out to the sponsors, Western Visions Lanyards, Ascent Fly Fishing, 5280 Angler. Go visit all of them. Great products, great services in all of them. So thank you guys, and until the next one, go make some trout porn.